Independent 90s country-influenced duo Joe and Martina join us on this edition of the Music Universe podcast.
Oh, buddy, this was a fun one. This was just fun. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it was pure joy.
Absolutely. They were so full of knowledge and very talented couple. And they're actually, I was quite surprised. They're from about an hour where I am right now in California, but they live in Nashville. So it was cool to kind of see that. It's not my hometown, but kind of to see that connection close to home, you know.
And what you'll hear they have a connection to one of our favorite artists, two of our favorite artists. And Joe of Joe and Martina has some pretty badass songwriting credits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know that they're working on some new music, and we're excited to hear it. So we got Joe and Martina. Welcome to the Music Universe podcast. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. How are you guys spending your quarantine time?
Well, the two of us are kind of doing different things. I've been spending a lot of time. We have a home studio. Thank God we have a home studio. I would be going crazy if I didn't have it. I've been working on a couple projects. The big one being a new Joe and Martina album. So I've been working on that a lot. That's been taking up most of my time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And for me, it's just getting what I like to call our life organized, from the yard work to the house to decluttering our closet and just being outside a lot more than I was before. So it's a great balance for the two of us.
Yeah, totally. And you guys are actually from, I'm in Bakersfield. You guys are from Visalia, but you're living in Nashville now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm.
How long have you guys been there?
So we made the move from Visalia 7 years ago. And it was one of the greatest things we could have done to move over here. You know, we've been singing together 11 years now, but mm-hmm. bringing our craft over here to Music City was a big, scary jump, but the best thing we could have done.
Wonderful. Now, I have to ask how you two met, how you two got to know each other, if you bonded over country music, because two people coming together with a love of classic 90s country music in California, of all places. I mean, we got to talk about that for a minute. Tell me your background. Tell me your story.
Yeah, well, it depends on who you ask and how we met. So, Joe, why don't you give him your quick story of how did I find you?
All right. Well, Martina was stalking me on MySpace back about 12 years ago.
Not stalking you.
I was in a band and she had found our page and then had noticed that I was friends with a mutual friend of hers, and yeah, so she added me on MySpace. I of course accepted because she's a cute girl. So of course I was single at the time. And we eventually met because of the mutual friend. It was really funny. He didn't know that she had found me on MySpace, and we had been kind of chatting a little bit. And my buddy was at the house. We're having this backyard, like, barbecue, kind of bonfire kind of party. And he said, "Man, there's this girl I know that I rodeo with a little bit that you need to meet. You guys have a lot in common. She's a singer too, and she loves old school music, like old school country like you do." And when he told me her name, he's like, "Oh, her name's Martina Otterbeck." I was like, "Oh my God, I've been talking to that girl on MySpace. How crazy." And we invited her and her friend to come over that evening, hang out at the party, and that's where we met in person. And it's been kind of like, we've been inseparable since that night. So.
Literally, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys are together because you guys produce some good music. You just released Give Me Back the 90s. You have an iconic voice, John Barry, with you on there. We actually just interviewed him and spoke about that song as well. And we just wanted to get your side of how that came together. And then maybe tell us, too, about how you got in touch with Johnny Garcia, who works with Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, how he's producing with you.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we'll flip those questions around because meeting Johnny Garcia came first. And And I'll take that one. And Joe, I know you've got some stories behind Give Me Back the 90s. So for Johnny Garcia, we met him through my grandmother, my 93-year-old grandmother, who lives in South Texas. Now, if that's not a divine, meant-to-be, you know, way of life, I don't know what it is. So Johnny is from a neighboring town of where my mother is born and raised and where my entire side of that family is from, in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And my grandma made a phone call to one of her cousins who she grew up with. And this cousin, we call him Uncle Eddie now. He made a phone call to Johnny because they used to do the little bar circuit in South Texas back in the day. And said, hey, I have these two family members that are really talented. I think you should check them out. And so sent them our YouTube link. And before you know it, we're working with Johnny Garcia, a very talented man who talked about Give Me Back the 90s and playing guitar for Trisha since day one. That's why he left Texas, is because he got this phone call to play for this upcoming country music female artist named Trisha Yearwood. So it's pretty cool, and our relationship has just grown from there. And then Joe wrote this song with Johnny and our friend Dustin Huff. And Joe, tell him more about this amazing song.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny had a bunch of ideas, song ideas, and he knows how much Martine and I love 90s country. And he threw out his original title. I think it was just like Bring Back the 90s. I think it was Bring Back the 90s. And we were like chewing on that for a second. We were talking about how, you know, how life was a little bit different. It was simpler. It was before social media. It was before, you know, you can get your groceries delivered to your front door. And it was just like a simpler time. You know, kids didn't have cell phones. I remember I was in junior high. I didn't have a cell phone in junior high, you know. And I just think that in general, it was a simpler time and a real, really cool time for music as well. So we wanted to tie all that stuff together and eventually came up with Give Me Back the 90s, because, you know, we wanted that sense of angst, like, give it back to me. We want this back. And the second we got done with it, I said to myself, well, number one, Martine and I are recording this song. I don't care if you want to pitch this to another artist. They can't do it, because this is ours. And second of all, we should ask John Barry if he'll sing on it. And I mean, he graciously said yes. And what a fun experience that's been to work on this song with him. And it's just been a dream come true, really.
Amazing. And I know that Johnny's produced some other things for you.
You work together.
Describe more of that collaboration.
Yeah, Johnny produced our first EP in Nashville. We were under a different name, but he produced that first one. And then me and him co-produced our second record, again under a different name. And, you know, through that relationship, I've learned a lot. So I have started producing some stuff on my own. Me and him still frequently collaborate. But I will say, like, I wouldn't be the producer I am right now if it weren't for spending time with that guy, because he has taught me more than I could have ever hoped for. And and we work really well. We work really, really well together. He's just he's all about the emotion behind the song, not the technicalities. And that was a shift for me, realizing that. And it's funny, when you focus more on the emotion side, almost naturally the technical side ends up becoming better naturally. You know, if you're not hounding to sing notes right, just follow your emotion, you end up singing more on tune than when you're worried about singing on tune. And it's just, you know, or playing guitar or playing drums, you know, whoever musician you're working with. It's just this beautiful thing that if you can really tap into the emotion, you will just naturally perform it better. And that was the biggest thing that I learned from him. And that's why I love working with him still to this day.
Oh, absolutely. And you guys actually filmed a music video for Give Me Back the 90s. Is that still on par to be released relatively soon?
Yes. We were, you know, what a blessing this whole experience with Give Me Back the 90s and having John on the record and just that friendship with him, his family, and his team. It's absolute blessing for Joe and I. And to do this music video, you know, we shot the music video 2 days before everything shut down in Nashville. So the timing was incredible. It gives me chills just thinking about it because we did it at one of our favorite honky-tonks in town, Nashville Palace, which is actually off-Broadway. It's over by Opryland Hotel. And it's where Joe and I, one of the two places we like to play in town, Scoreboard and that venue. And I don't know, it was a lot of fun. It really showcased who we are as artists. And it was a nod to our heroes in the 90s and what we really grew up with. You know, the clothes we wore were stuff out of our own closets and you know, inspired by Garth Brooks. Like, I wear one of those Mo Betta shirts that he used to wear in the 90s. It was like really
oh my God.
I was wearing one.
Pics or it isn't happening. Because let me tell you, I have the one from The Chase. I have the one from This Is Garth Brooks 2. And I have about 8 of the new ones, one of which the man signed. I have one of the 8 of the 7 Diamonds cinch ones. So you and I are talking when this is done. Because
Yes.
Everywhere. I love that. Yes. Garth was my first concert, and I have the photos of the Purple Rockies and, like, me going to this concert with my, you know, Fujifilm camera in hand. And it just – you just see that come across between Joe and I, the love – because first and foremost, we're country music fans.
Yeah.
Our director and our camera – our film director, like, the two of them just really brought this to life. And to have John on it is a memory that, like, is just going to be in our hearts forever. And here's a little secret that we even learned the day of the music video. So John is wearing a really, like, cool, just a blazer, like a coat blazer, a sport coat blazer, right?
Right.
You think, oh, he looks really nice in it. It's actually the same exact blazer he wore in the music video for Your Love Amazes Me.
Oh, nice.
So,
wow.
Everything's full circle. There's an appreciation for country music in it, and we're excited. It should be coming out very, very, very soon, and we are just so stoked because our fans absolutely deserve it.
Yeah, and I heard the song, and I loved it. Like, it just threw me back to the 90s. That's my favorite decade of country as well, and it just something... Mm-hmm. You know, about that coming back, because I know, Joe, you've also written and worked with Luke Combs, who's heavily influenced by 90s country, more so on his latest album than his first one. So, you know, kind of tell us about what it feels like to kind of have a platinum record as a songwriter.
Well, it's something that as a songwriter, especially when you move to Nashville, like, you hope that something like that will happen, but you kind of go in thinking it probably never will. I mean, I'll, you know, that's kind of a sad way to look at it, but it's the reality. There's so many songwriters in Nashville that it's tough for something like that to happen. So when it does, it is one of the greatest feelings that you can ever have. Seeing a platinum record with my name on it is phenomenal. And I couldn't have asked, you know, to be on a cooler record. I mean, like you said, Luke and I, as far as our musical tastes go, me and him always kind of aligned pretty good with each other. Even the song we wrote, Martine and I are cutting a full length record right now. And one of the fun, I don't even know if I should say this right now, but I'm going to say it because I think that you're the right guy to tell.
Do it, babe.
We're gonna record a it's gonna be like a bonus track on the record, and we're doing our version of Don't Tempt Me, which is the song that Luke that I helped write with Luke. And with my production style, it sounds like a 90s country song. like straight up. And it just, you know, it just goes to show, like, we're all so influenced by that music. And I think it's so important. And I'm just honored to have that writing credit. I'm honored that a guy like Luke Combs is making 90s type country popular again. You know, he's been a huge part in that happening. It's been great.
If I could ask a forward question without prying, because we had like 2 years ago on another show that I do, I talked to Gary Burr and Georgia Middleman, and Georgia in particular. And again, here again, we didn't go into detail. When she wrote her first hit for Keith Urban, what she was talking about to me is that let her breathe as a songwriter. It gave her the financial security to breathe as a songwriter. Having that platinum record with Luke in today's landscape, again, kind of a forward question, but without prying, do you find yourself in a similar position, that it's given you enough security to at least say, okay, there's a hit out there, I know the money's coming in from that, and I can move forward knowing that there's something established there?
Yeah, I mean,
I was just saying, from the wife's perspective, you know, when it comes to keeping the lights on, it's one of those, everyone dreams, like Joe said, of that walk to the mailbox, you know, for mailbox money. And there's a difference between the song being a single and being on the record, a big difference, but it's enough to, yeah, I can see personally on the other side of it. I'm so proud of my husband for providing for his family with something that he thought was never possible and a talent that I knew was there all along. So seeing that and like I always say, keeping the lights on, and thanks to Luke's fans for doing that, you know, I mean, we're truly blessed and it's great.
I agree with what she's saying, absolutely. And I'd say more so than even the financial gain from having a cut like that, I would say that what it's done for my confidence as a songwriter and what it's done for my street cred as a songwriter has been more impactful than the money I've made off the song. If I'm looking at it from a kind of a bird's eye view. So maybe not directly the money it comes from, but you know, just the cred I've gotten to be able to produce other people and stuff like that. Like, it's led me into so many other things that have opened up my world that I think even amount more than the actual song itself. You know, it's kind of a cool thing. It's opened a lot of doors for me.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you talking to that, because that's absolutely right. And what I was about to say was, Martina kind of talked about Garth there. Garth's whole thing is the songwriters, and the songwriters are the backbone of this industry. And I think it's why your stuff as a duo is so great, because you guys have those chops as writers. And so I'm just so happy for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, that means more to us than anything, you know. It's cool being a decent singer, you know. But it means a whole lot more when it's something that came from your mind and you wrote on a piece of paper, wrote on your computer, and then created a melody around it and then put it all together. And it's just like, you know, our hands and our brains are all over our music. You know, this is, we're not karaoke singers. Like, we have our hand in every aspect of the music we're making. And, I don't know, for better or for worse. I mean, some people could argue that, you know, we're not taking enough advice from other people. But the way I look at it is, we're both making the music we want to make, and it is a true reflection of our souls. And I think that is more important than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you're working with some top dogs in Nashville, so I'd say you guys are doing something right for sure.
Yeah, well, that is true, and they've all, you know, they've all learned pretty quickly that, like, Martina and I, we do take direction pretty good, but at the same time, if we want to do something a certain way, they know that that's the way it's going to get done.
Yeah, hey, we're absolutely farm kids. we're farm kids, you know, we're used to getting our hands dirty and really working hard. And if it doesn't work this way, well, I'll be dang if we're just going to sit around and be okay with that answer. We'll find another way. It's just how we were raised. You know, it's pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. And any idea when the album might drop?
You know, it's really hard to say. I want to get it out as soon as possible. So, and it's, I'll just kind of tell you guys a little bit about it. There's some new material on it. Then there's the couple singles that we've put out as Joan Martina. And then we're also re-recording some parts on some stuff that we really loved that we put out in the years past under a different name. We just feel like the general public who's just now, because I will say, like, with Give Me Back the 90s, there's a lot of people discovering us now. And, you know, we only have three songs under the name Joan Martina. So we want to make sure that people hear some of those back catalog songs that we love without confusing them by telling them our old name. So we're redoing some of that stuff, especially the ones we really love, and they're going to make it. So we're kind of right now in the middle of all of it.
I'm personally hoping for summer. I'll throw that out there.
It'll definitely be out by summer.
In summer, and I think we need it for our own birthday party anthem because we're gonna go home to California. We haven't seen our family in over a year, and we need some good birthday bash music. Boom, done. There it is.
Yep.
When's your birthday?
I'm July 10th, and Joe is August 19th.
Yeah.
That works perfectly.
Yeah, I would say that record should definitely be done by then, if not sooner. We're not dragging our. I'll tell you this much: there's no feet dragging when it comes to this record. Like, we're working at a pace that I've never ever worked at when it comes to creating an album. So, it's gonna be quick.
Yes! I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're excited to hear it. And I know I'm sure tour dates, of course, have been impacted by COVID-19. Are you guys still pushing for like summer and fall dates?
You know, it's so hard right now to navigate booking. We had about 2 months of shows in April and May. We were actually had a California tour all booked out that completely got canceled. And now, even like looking forward, we do have some plans to be out in California in August. We have what I think is, we're playing a wedding for a good friend of ours, and we're going to try to base a tour around it. But even now, like reaching out to promoters and stuff, you know, people we know really well that, you know, usually will give you a straight answer if there's anything available. Like, it's just kind of still up in the air, even that far out.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's totally confident yet, and they're scared to book. And then have to cancel again. So, and rightfully so. So right now it's a strange time for even thinking about touring, you know, and that's kind of probably why we've kind of shifted our brains more into making a record and writing and stuff that we do have complete control over right now until all this stuff.
We have to remember, no matter what industry you're in, I mean, all over the board, all over the country, that everyone was affected by this and everybody needs the time to recover from it. So we have to give our booking agents and promoters and venues room to breathe, you know, to get back on their feet as well and get their scheduling going. And so we're just kind of riding the wave along, and when it's time, we'll be ready. You know, we're here, we're present, we're ready to play. So.
Yeah, well, I know you come out this way. I'll be checking you guys out for sure.
Yes.
Same here. And you know we'll be writing about that album. So get it out so we can write about it and we can have you on again. Joe and Martina, this was an absolute thrill. Thank you both. We wish you the most success that you could ever possibly have. And, buddy, do you have any last questions? Because I'm good to go. I think they hit on everything.
Yeah, you guys touched on everything, and we're excited to have you guys on, so we appreciate you taking time out of being quarantined to chat with us.
No, thanks, guys, and thanks for supporting country music. We appreciate what you do for all of us as songwriters, musicians, and artists. That's a new one, songers.
Songers, quarantine, day 88.
Invented a new word, now. Songers.
It sounds like a term from Dive Bar. You know, Garth and Blake's Dive Bar. That's what it sounds like.
It's my new cocktail.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you very, very much. You know, what I think we're finding with these interviews, right, is that the country music community is exactly like a small town because we had John Barry from one particular publicist. He talked about working with Joe and Martina, and that's how I found out about them. I reached out to Joe and Martina directly, and then I found out that they know some other people that this publicist have that they're working with Luke Combs and that they've done stuff with Garth's camp. And those Mobetta shirts, I lost my, because I didn't think anybody else paid attention besides you and me to the freaking shirts that Garth wears. So
your face, like, I thought you were going to fall out of your chair when she mentioned that.
That was fun. That was really a joy because, you know, they're as humble could be.
Yeah, and you know what was super cool? That right before, about an hour before we interviewed them, I found out that they were going to do an Instagram Live with us.
Yeah.
With actually Brittany Vance, who works with us. She's kind of taking over Instagram and doing live Q&As and maybe a couple song performances from various artists. They were actually booked for that by her through their publicist that she's good friends with. And it literally, like, she sent me that information like an hour before we interviewed him. I'm like, wait, this is totally full circle. So it was really cool to have that done and be able to have them on our podcast. And we'd love to have them back at some point in the future.
Absolutely. Hopefully when that record comes out, we'll have them back.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, for the Music Universe podcast, I am Buddy.
And I'm Matt.
Thanks for listening and keep checking out themusicuniverse.com.